Last week in the Christian tradition was the beginning of Pentecost. Pentecost is the event 5 weeks after Passover. That's why it's called Pentecost, 5 weeks after Passover. So after Easter, when all the disciples, except Judas, of course, were gathered together, and the Holy Spirit comes down, and they are filled with wonder and can heal, and most importantly to the story, they speak a language which every person there, no matter their own tongue, can understand. This language, they believe, is the language spoken by humans before God destroyed the Tower of Babel and confused the speech of people. So we're now in the Pentecost season of Christianity, and you may wonder, why are we talking about that here? A few years ago, the case was made to me by a colleague that we Unitarian Universalists should revel in the celebration of Pentecost. It's our best holiday, they said. And the case goes like this. Pentecost celebrates that all people, despite our diversities of language and thus ethnicity and background, that all people are still one family. And that can be connected across borders and boundaries. Pentecost says that there's an underlying oneness in our diversity, which is what Unitarianism means. And it means that all people can encounter and be transformed by the holy, which is what Universalism means. So I resolved I was going to preach on Pentecost every year. My theme for this year, as you figured out, is about all these names for God, about how no one name is all-encompassing. As the line from the choral introit put it, God has an uncompleted name. Name unnamed, we will sing later. That the spirit of life is formless form, unnameable, yet with us. Now, I didn't preach on Pentecost last week when the season began because last week was our coming of age service. And just the way the schedule worked, that it had to be that way. But the youth, they did good by us anyway. They didn't know they were setting it up for Pentecost, but they did. They each shared their credo statements, and they each had different ideas. They put their concepts into different words. Some of them believe in karma, and some don't. Some think there's some kind of state of existence after death, and some don't. Some think there is a God, and some don't. The diversity of theological thought is a common thread among us. We accept many ideas. Yet despite these differences, there was a common core. They each said, we are still growing and might change our mind. They said, what matters is how you treat people. All people should be treated well. You should remain interested in mystery. You can learn from everything. Unity in diversity, many in one. The one holds the many. The wider we cast our vision, the more of the unity we will see. So today we're talking about God, the Spirit, the Tao, the I will be what I will be, and the many names. Speaking of the wise words of our youth last week, I was struck by the words used by Jessica Herman to describe God. She made exactly the point that I want to make today. She said, God is something just beyond our understanding, close enough to touch, but far away enough to create a feeling of wonder. The wonder makes us figure out what's out there. Jessica's 13. Theologians spend their lifetime in study to reach such a simple and well-said conclusion. Close enough to touch, yet far away enough to wonder. Deep like thunder and soft like butterfly sneezes. Still like the rocks, dancing like the wind. It seems to me that if we want to speak of ultimate reality, God, Spirit, Tao, as Unitarian Universalists, then we have two options. Three, I'll get to the third one later. Two for now. as Unitarian Universalists. One is the via negativa, the negative way. This was the way of medieval Jewish thinkers and others to say, God is such a mystery that we cannot say anything except what God is not. We can only deny things. So we can say, God is not limited, or God is not X, God is not Y. And they would make long lists of things God is not. But we cannot say that God did this or did that via negativa. We might, in line with the words from It Sounds Along the Ages, describe the way in which the Spirit has touched the lives of people and inspired this or inspired that or been present. But notice that the song, and this is a great joke among my colleagues, the song never says what the it is. Did you notice that when you were singing it? Never names the it that sounds along the ages. It leaves it unnamed. The extremists for the via negativa go further. They say you can say nothing, just silence. Like Sufi dervishes or Zen monks, they close their lips and open their hearts whenever the subject of the holy comes near. There's something to be said for this approach. It's humble before mystery and non-confrontational. As a spiritual practice, it can be wise and deepening for us, especially those of us, talking about me here, maybe you too, who rush to words, who like to name things, who feel that intellectual competence when we do that makes us feel like we know what we're talking about, as if we had like an explorer of old conquered the place by naming it. Sometimes silence is appropriate. This can be good. But if we keep that sense of spiritual humility with us, there is another option for us, and that is to use lots of names. Using lots of names is a way of saying clearly that no one name is right all by itself, that the mystery is bigger than our names, and yet still close enough to touch. With only silence, we might have that far enough away to make us wonder part of Jessica's definition, but we might lose that close enough to touch part. And friends, sometimes we need that part. We need that presence, that knowledge, that feeling that each of us, yes, you too, is infused with this presence. So we use many names. Now, this can become a kind of joke. We spend so much time explaining who we are praying to that we never get to the prayer. Or sometimes we just shorten it way down and we say, to whom it may concern. What I love about Nancy Schaeffer's reading That Which Holds All is that it takes that joke and it turns it around. It shows the sacred, loving, transformative power of naming widely. And no one laughed, and the room was hushed until someone said, Amen. The act of naming, with so much diversity, is an affirmation of the pluralism that is at the core of our faith. As Unitarians, we affirm the oneness of divinity, that all these names mean the same thing, that there are many windows but one light, many songs but one source. We each see differently, and yet it's one light. And our affirmation of many names corresponds to our universalism, because it says that each name, each window, each song is worthy too. That these words matter to people and are okay to use and embrace and love as long as we remember that there's not just one name. The Unitarian Universalist Richard Grigg describes this as the 100-sided polygon. I've mentioned this before, so a few of you might recall the idea. I love this idea. Take a polygon, an 8-sided stop sign will do. Each side is a name of the ultimate, a concept, an attribute, an idea. And as you add sides, you add names and ideas. The real nature of the ultimate is the circle, perfectly round, infinite, and it's going round and round. And as you add sides to the polygon, it begins to look more and more like a circle. But even if you have 100 sides to your polygon, even if you have 10 million sides to your polygon will never actually be a circle. It will get closer to being a circle. And that's good. That's the advantage of pluralism. We get to a better sense of what that circle is like. We get a deeper and a wider vision. But it will never be the circle because that is beyond our grasping, beyond our naming, beyond even 100 names. But it's good to get closer. God, Spirit, Tao, creativity, that which holds all the power and the presence, it flows through all things, calls us forward into more life, deeper living, and more love, comforts us in sorrow, sings with joy at our joy, and connects us to more than we can know. At least that's true for me, and I know for many of you. If I had to choose one word for it, I would choose spirit. Spirit has that sense of motion. It is relational. I like Tao a lot, but my divinity is a little bit more loving than the impersonal Tao. I use God sometimes, but God, I tell you, has suitcases full of baggage. A whole luggage rack, really. She has to cart it around everywhere she goes. I am who I am is okay, although I like the future tense more, I will be who I will be. Sometimes I say the more naturalistic universe with a capital U. In my childhood, of course, and all through my teenage years, I called it the Force. Thank you, George Lucas, for that one. But if I had to choose one word, I would choose spirit. But guess what? I don't have to choose one word. I can choose as many words as I want. So can you. Use the words you want whenever you want to. Now, you might say, but I don't believe any of this. And maybe you've been thinking here the whole time I've been talking, I'm an atheist, I'm a secular humanist, and so what does this have to do with me? I don't believe any of that. Well, I have an answer to that question, but I need you to detour with me to 19th century German theology, just for a moment. Hang on, okay? We're talking about Ludwig Feuerbach. He was in many ways the father of modern philosophical atheism. Feuerbach said, look, we have this idea, God, but what is God? Nothing more than the holding place of our highest ideals. People who value strength say that God is power, and people who value compassion speak of God's infinite compassion. But these, says Feuerbach, are humanity's values. So when we speak of what God wants, we are really speaking of what humanity wants, or more cynically, what I, the speaker, want. So this is how embracing the many names of spirit works for atheists. If each name reflects a different idea, a different set of values, a slightly different spin on the highest ideals of humanity, then the more names that we use and understand and celebrate, the better, more inclusive, more complete our values will be. The atheist who remembers that Allah is always called the compassionate, the merciful, might be led to compassion. Remembering that the Tao works through long patience might help us be patient. Knowing that Christ suffers yet is holy might make us less likely to judge suffering as a sign that the sufferer is evil. Do you need to know lots of names for divinity to be moral? Of course not. Of course you don't. Do you need to see a real Monet or a real Rembrandt to appreciate art? No, you don't. But your life might be richer for it. Knowing the diversity of names, using them with respect, doesn't mean you believe in them, but it might widen your view to know them. And it might help all of us, believers or not, or unsure, or moving back and forth depending on the day, remember that these names really are only names. They enrich our understanding. They might speak to us, make the power of life feel close enough to touch, yet in their great diversity, remind us that the power is always far away enough to wonder. But they're names. There's a Buddhist saying of which I am fond: don't mistake the finger pointing at the moon for the moon itself. Don't mistake the finger for the moon. When we fight over names and human ideas and who has it right and wrong, we're arguing about the fingers, where they're pointing. But the moon, glorious in its reflected light, a small sliver, or did you see it the other night hanging? That orange lantern in the sky, the moon remains. Names are beauty. They remind us of the great universality of human striving after meaning, while in their variety remind us that each is unique. But names point. They suggest. They provoke. The truth is deeper and harder to name and beyond our grasping, close enough to touch, yet far away enough to wonder. So rest, friends, in the mystery and the wonder. Rest in the great diversity and the underlying unity. Rest, be renewed, be comforted, and celebrate our longings, our beauty, and the gift of life itself. Use lots of names. Learn more. Keep expanding your polygon. Keep wondering. Keep searching. Keep growing. Let the wondrous diversity and the powerful unity of life inspire and encourage you to live wider and more fully. Celebrate, name, rest in silence. Hear and listen. There is more to life than we can name. And sometimes when it cannot be spoken, can yet be sung. So let us sing. It's Name Unnamed. It's a song we have not sung before, but we can do it. We're a full house. The choir is here. If you want to see the music, it's 31 in your gray hymnal. The words are up here, and I invite you to rise in body or in spirit.